You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay.
Millie. Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast, and we want to thank you for making this part of your daily routine. We're here for you Monday through Friday, and it's a Friday show, so happy Friday, everybody. Your work week is over. It's done. Forget it. Next week is a new week. So enjoy the weekend, and we hope you take us along with you, whatever it is that you're doing, wherever you're going. We're the Rain of Jays. John Corrales here of MassLive.com, joined by Jay King of The Athletic, here to talk to you a little bit about a little bit more about Gordon Hayward and Kyrie
Gordo
and Kyrie Irving and Kendrick Perkins. Can we put this thing to bed? We'll just get a little rant. I'm just tired of this thing. Reminder to all of the new listeners: first of all, welcome. Hope you are enjoying the show. Thanks for sampling us. You can subscribe, if you haven't, to the Locked On Celtics podcast on the brand new podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever podcasts live. And get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Celtics. Let's kick this off, Jay, with the Kyrie Irving comments. These came out after after we did the podcast last night. And Kyrie Irving was just asked about Brad Stevens, and some people want to make some sort of thing. Like every time he says something that can be remotely construed as negative against Brad Stevens, and people want to lose their minds about it. But Kyrie Irving says of their relationship, our relationship has grown. This is a quote. Our relationship has grown tremendously just in terms of our communication, what he likes and what I like, but ultimately what's best for our team and how to get the most out of our guys. So it's made my job a lot easier going to the sideline, knowing we're on the same page, and it makes it easier to go out there and play free and really do my job of leading this team. So that's it, Jay, right? This is going to be like the put things to bed podcast. Like, can we just put to bed this, any notion that Brad and Kyrie are having any sort of problems at all?
I think in the same interview, Kyrie said this has been a trying year for all of us.
Well, yeah.
And I think it's been trying for players, and I'm sure when it's trying for players, the coach comes under the microscope. I'm sure you've played for teams where things weren't going as well as you thought, and guys started griping about playing time or whatever else.
No, all my teams were perfect. I was an exceptional leader. Everybody fell in line.
But when things do go wrong, people question the coach.
Sure.
And sure. It's very possible that their relationship has grown and they have better communication now, and they've kind of fought through some of the things that have gone on this year. But I do think there are reasons why Kyrie and other players too, would probably kind of differentiate, have different opinions from what Brad Stevens has done this year. And
well,
so
he did question certain things. Like there is a reason why that people have questioned it, right? He, after the Charlotte game, like, why didn't we trap Kemba Walker? And he has said things. So like no one's going to be completely on the same page from beginning to end.
Yeah, and if you remember with Isaiah Thomas, I can remember, I think it was game 63, and Brad put out like Jordan Mickey and James Young in a game that the Celtics thought they had to win, or Isaiah thought they had to win, and they lost in LA to the Clippers. And Isaiah went bonkers about experimenting with lineups in game 63 and kind of threw Brad under the bus, threw the players who were in the lineup under the bus. And Isaiah loved Brad. And so you're always going to have some of that. So it's hard to tell, what the relationship is like. I've never heard of a bad word about Brad the person in my life from anyone. So I'm sure Kyrie likes Brad as a person. But I do think that the quote about this being a trying season, I think it's been trying for Kyrie. I think it's been trying for all the guys. And I'm sure at some times that's put a strain on the relationship with Brad. Now, does he trust Brad? Does he believe in Brad? Does he have faith in Brad? Probably yes on all those things. But I also do think that this season has kind of strained everything for everybody. And it has been a tough season for all the players, the coaches, everything. This season just hasn't gone as planned. Although the new starting lineup, crushing everyone.
This is it. It's just a series of new starting lineups and renewed faith in this team. Second time this year. Yeah. There is totally, difficulty of the season that wears on everybody. There is nothing that goes smoothly from beginning to end. This is just like anything. To borrow from Danny Ainge, the marriage analogy or any sort of family or anything like that. These guys truly are more of a family dynamic than most people realize, because just around each other so much that, of course, there's going to be things that we never know about. And obviously this team's had its chemistry issues and ups and downs. And Kyrie is certainly guilty of emotional highs and lows. And so I'm sure there is frustration. And the real question has been, how much of it is frustration that certain things aren't going the way everybody thought? Like, this isn't the season that Kyrie thought he was going to see, whether it was from himself or whether it's from his teammates or whether it was from Brad, whatever it was. It's obvious that this isn't the way he thought the season would go. This isn't the way that most people thought the season would go. But if a lot of it is just frustration, then it's not a big deal. And some of it does take time to, I guess, grow and get better and to have these two guys, I guess, on the same page. I mean, it's better than the alternative. Whether or not it means anything, whether what he said last night means much, it's just at least interesting to hear it. And there's the one thing that my hope is that it gets away from some of this manufactured BS that people love to harp on. Because not everything is fully right with the Celtics. Just like not everything's fully right with the Toronto Raptors or the Milwaukee Bucks. I can guarantee you that nothing is completely right with those.
Yeah, they seem pretty right.
Yeah, but we don't know. But that's the thing. We don't know what's going on internally. There's always something that's not right with
DJ Wilson is pissed.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. There's things that are definitely not right with the Golden State Warriors. I mean, there's always something that's not right with the team. But at least the Celtics are, at least it feels like they're on the upswing.
They have started to win games after changing their starting lineup. It's crazy.
Any thoughts, speaking of which, any random stray thoughts on that game before we go to a break?
I just thought it was a business-like win. It was one of those wins, you know, you play the Miami Heat 2 days earlier. You sort of need a win for fourth place.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm sure it seems like some of the guys aren't too stressed about it.
It does not seem like they're very stressed about fourth place at all.
Yeah, but they definitely want to start developing the right habits. And I think, to me, when Horford and Baines are on the court, you know you're going to get defense. and you know you're going to get rebounding, and you know you're going to have two defensive anchors to call out everything and to set up the communication and to be in the right spots all the time, on top of Marcus Smart, who's also in the starting lineup and does a lot of those same things as well. So it's just, there's a reliability right now from that group that the Celtics haven't always had, at least defensively, and they're scoring too, which is a bonus, I think, when you call in that group. But it's, so yeah, it's promising, but there are also going to be times, like Danny Ainge said on the radio, where the Celtics won't be able to play that lineup. And it may not come against the Pacers in round one, because they can hide Baines on Thad Young or Pacers backup bigs, or they're both kind of traditional guys. But round two, the Bucks, the Celtics are probably going to want to go small with Al Horford at center, mm-hmm. because to take advantage and pick on Brook Lopez. And if you can't do that, and if you can't stop Giannis, or you're not going to stop him, but if you can't somewhat restrain him, then what's the point of being able to play a big lineup if you can't use it all the time? So obviously it's a nice step, and I think it'll be very, very helpful against the Pacers in round one. But the Celtics are going to need to use those small lineups too. And whether it's Marcus Morris at power forward, or Gordon Hayward at power forward, or whatever the case may be, they're going to have to use those switchy lineups, and they're going to have to be able to hold up defensively with those lineups. So I think the focus right now and the commitment on both sides of the court to kind of hitting singles is how Brad Stevens likes to say it, is really big for them, because they need that. And I think, honestly, I think playing Gordon Hayward more minutes could really be a beneficial thing as they go into the playoffs, the way he's rounded out.
Look at that. That's a professional right there, because that's the next segment. So we're going to.
That was big time.
That was, man, I mean, just throwing that alley-oop, and I'm going to slam it home by saying we're going to take
that a was
break.
Not a very Celtics-like alley-oop.
No,
that shit was right on
that
point.
That was right there. We're going to come right back and talk about Gordon Hayward and playing him more minutes right here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Gordon Hayward led the Celtics with 25 points against Miami and scored 11 of those in the fourth quarter down the stretch when the Celtics needed him to, or needed somebody to hold the Heat off. It was very encouraging. They keep asking Kyrie Irving to do all of these things, and he's kind of struggled with it a little bit lately. To see Gordon Hayward and Jason Tatum, for that matter, combine for 20 points in a fourth quarter to hold off Miami was very encouraging. Hayward especially, aggressive, getting to the line. And a lot of the talk, and we talked about it last night in the podcast, and I took a little bit of a victory lap, because I think that this is the culmination of finally all of these minutes, all of these reps, getting healthy, getting confident. Culminating to this.
What did you take a victory lap for?
For saying people should wait and be patient, and that Gordon.
You also said Gordon Hayward was going to have the best shooting season of his career. Did you take a victory lap for that one?
Nope.
Boom!
Yeah. No, I was wrong about that one, but I did say, I can admit when I'm wrong.
I had to take you down a notch. You know, you were flying high.
I'm going to climb right back up to the top there, because the whole thing with Gordon Hayward was patience. And it's starting to come around. I did say that he was going to have the best shooting season of his career. That was clearly way off. But I don't. That's the whole thing, Jay. This is how it works. You don't bring up the things you were wrong about. You bring up the things that you were right about.
That's true. I bring up the things you were wrong about.
That's okay. So,
if you would ask me a couple months ago if I thought Gordon Hayward was going to be one of the Celtics' most key contributors heading into the playoffs? I would have said absolutely not. I would have said he hasn't shown enough progress. There's not enough time for him to regain his power, his strength, his finishing, all of that. And then the last couple months, he's basically averaging 17.5 points per 36 minutes on like 63% true shooting. And he's getting to the free throw line more often. He had 13 attempts against the Heat. Which was a season high. He is, and it's just the look of him. He just looks like he's trusting in the legs and he's jumping freely and regularly for the first time all season. He doesn't seem inhibited by anything right now. And I still think he has another level to unlock. I still think there's more progress to be made. But the way he's progressing and doing it both offensively, where he's become one of the Celtics' best playmakers lately, and defensively, where he can be relied on. And like earlier in the season, he was a liability. Guys were going at him.
Sure.
Guys, they were ISOing him. Now there's none of that. Gordon Hayward is back to being a solid defender who can guard a lot of positions. And I think especially going into the playoffs when you're going to have to meet Giannis, or if you get past Giannis, you're going to have to meet Kawhi. It's huge to have that. And on top of that, like Al Horford, he's a guy who makes the right play very, very frequently. And the Celtics too often have had guys who have not made the right play. So when he and Horford share the court next to Kyrie, those are two guys who always make the right play, and Kyrie, who even the wrong play is the right play. And I think, you know, if you're looking at the playoffs and if you think the Celtics can flip the switch, I think the biggest reason to think that is that Horford and Kyrie, and I think Hayward is due for a lot more minutes come playoff time. I think he'll need to play a lot more minutes come playoff time. I think they should have him play a lot more minutes come playoff time. But I think all those three guys with heightened roles because of the playoffs, I think that's going to matter for this team.
Well, this year he's averaging 25.7 minutes per game. He's played 70 games. That is obviously the lowest of his career minus his rookie season. But he's in the last few seasons before he came to Boston, it was basically around 35, 36 minutes a game, somewhere in that range. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him play up over 30 minutes a game. That's just everybody's minutes are going to get increased. And like you said, and put it very well, that the guys who make the right plays are at a very important, I'll say, for this team in a season where too many guys are making the wrong plays. So you need to rely on the guys who have been making the right plays. So, and I still think that Hayward has another level to reach, maybe even this season. I don't know if it's going to happen. The playoffs are going to be interesting, but the good thing is because of the schedule, because of the rest, that he'll be able to really just lock in on his matchup and get the rest and play those minutes. And it's going to be interesting to see how his body responds to playing the increased minutes. It should be fine, but there's always like that little thing in the back of your head. It's like, let's just kind of see. By adding 10 minutes per game, doesn't seem like a ton, but it's enough where it could create some added soreness. So, but I agree. I think the moving into the playoffs with more Hayward, more Horford, more Kyrie, that's going to be a real recipe for success. And then what that's going to do is going to phase out a lot less Rozier, a lot less Marcus Morris, and they'll fill in the blanks with some of those guys, but in limited time. So,
yeah, and especially when you're going to have to play Giannis. You know, last year they played Giannis and they started Semi Ojeleye.
Yeah.
Now you can start Hayward and have some of the same defensive the strength and the size and have a much better offensive player. So that's where he's going to help, is his versatility and just the constant making of the right play is huge. If you look at his efficiency over the last couple of months, it's just awesome. And I think he's 53.5% from the field, 40% from three since February 1st. Those are huge numbers. And meanwhile, his counting stats are going up too. So he's really growing more and more comfortable.
He is. And so that's, we're looking forward to that. And we're also looking forward to the last segment of our show, which just a pet peeve of mine, and it came up today on the radio. People continue to bring up the Kendrick Perkins trade. So I want to try to put that to bed when we come back. Remember, all of you new listeners, you can get the show every day if you subscribe to the Locked On Celtics on the new Himalaya podcast app. It really keeps your, not just your podcast organized, but it curates based on your interests. So you can discover new things and get a good sense of what podcasts are out there for you. There are new features being added all the time. So download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Celtics. A Celtics pet peeve of mine is people still hung up on the Perk trade. Like, let it go. Let it go. It happened 8 years ago. Let it go. But today on the radio, Danny Ainge was asked if he regrets that trade by Toucher and Rich. And he said, absolutely not. He does not, because they were not going to pay him. And his direct quote was that Perkins was hurt. People keep forgetting that. He wasn't healthy. He had a torn ACL. He wanted a contract extension. We were not going to pay him the money just because of the payroll that we had. And he ended up, after we traded him, he ended up getting surgery again. So he wasn't going to help us then. And then Kristich was actually better than Perkins at the moment in time because of his health. And then he got hurt. So basically justifying the trade that it was for Jeff Green, Kristich, and a pick. So that pick, along with, Let me just start with this. That trade, even though people will say it ripped the hearts out of the Celtics, which it did, they were hurt by it, that trade still made sense to me. I hated to see Perk go. Everybody loves Perk, but it made perfect sense. Marquise Daniels he'd gone down with a bruised spinal cord. They had no wing behind Paul Pierce. They needed somebody. And now we know what Jeff Green is. But back then, the change of scenery made sense. And to trade a hurt Kendrick Perkins to get Jeff Green and a pick, it just made sense. And if we just look at it rationally, hopefully people, even if you still love Perk, if you just look at it rationally, can we just agree that it made sense and just move on? And on top of it, traded Jeff Green. After that, they traded him to Memphis, and now the Memphis pick that Boston has that we're tracking is a result of that Jeff Green trade. So ultimately, that Kendrick Perkins trade flipped into, down the road, the pick from Memphis that could be included in the Anthony Davis deal if one materializes. So let's get past it.
Yeah, it's time to let the Kendrick Perkins trade go. The one thing I will say is that trading away Kendrick Perkins that year, they were relying on Jermaine O'Neal and Shaq O'Neal.
Yeah.
Who were never healthy. They needed a big man in the worst way. That was before teams realized that Kevin Garnett should have just been playing center the whole time. They should have had a stretch four beside him, but that's beside the point. So yeah, it broke that team's heart. It was still the right trade. Jeff Green was never a very helpful basketball player for the Celtics, but Kendrick Perkins was never really a very helpful basketball player, at least on the court. the rest of his time in the NBA. So
that was it. That was the end of his time. And whatever. I don't want to go too deep into it. It's just like people still can't get over it. It's a testament to Boston fandom. Like once a guy kind of grabs a fan's heart, they'll never they'll never forget. Like people. And this is different, but Isaiah Thomas, like people are still like want Isaiah Thomas back. There are players like once you become a fan favorite, you're always going to be a fan favorite. And no matter what, people will still clamor for you to come back. People would still take Perk today.
They should also bring back Vaughn Wafer.
Just for the comedic value.
Didn't he have that one play where he missed a dunk?
Yep.
I forget what happened.
That was, he went up, he missed.
He celebrated a missed dunk, right? Dunk, right?
So he missed the dunk, and then he celebrated, but Jermaine O'Neal got the offensive rebound. And as Vaughn missed the dunk and then was facing the crowd on the baseline, and he celebrated. Jermaine O'Neal got the rebound, and as Vaughn turned around, he bumped into Jermaine O'Neal, who then traveled with the ball and turned it over. I remember
just
that.
Special.
That's a just epic play. Just Google it. If you don't know what we're talking about, Google that.
That's probably my favorite play in Celtics history.
That's right up there with the Nick Young miss.
No, it's so much better than Nick Young because he didn't just celebrate a miss. He then caused a turnover after the miss.
Yeah, Jermaine O'Neal got it on the baseline and was like ready to go back up with it. And Vaughn just turns around and just slams into him. Yeah. And then the look on his face was like, oh my God.
That never would have happened if they kept Perk, John.
No, it's true. That's true. Which means it was an especially good trade because that never would have happened if they didn't trade Perk. Oh God. I think I'm out of things to say.
It's time for the playoffs to come. When Danny's getting asked about the Kendrick Perkins trade on air, it's time for the playoffs to arrive. We all need fresh things to discuss.
I mean, we are out of really honestly, we are. I don't want to say this because we got podcasts next week, but like we're very much scraping by. What else is there to say? Like we've said everything that there is to say about this season. I don't know. That's it.
Oh, we will say more.
We'll keep talking. As long as people keep listening, we'll keep talking. Boy, that's a horrible way to put this. Oh, yeah, come back next week. We still have nothing to say, but come back. We're going to fill a whole week with before the playoffs with nothing. But we'll have a reaction. We'll have a reaction to, like, Friday night is the Pacers game. We're not recording after that. Sunday is the Orlando game. So we'll record after the Orlando game on Sunday, kind of recap the weekend. And then, I'm going to DC for the Wizards game. We'll try to do a crossover podcast with Locked On Wizards, and then we'll get ready for the playoffs. So still plenty to talk about. So absolutely listen to the show. If you're a new listener, of course, you can subscribe to the show on the new Himalaya app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Get in your car or at home. If you've got a smart device, tell it to play podcast Locked On Celtics. And if you are a regular listener, please give us that 5-star rating and a good review and tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King.